Today, I want to talk to you about our identity in Christ. And the title is, I am what I am by the grace of God. I'll open up by reading 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, where it says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace towards me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. I am what I am by the grace of God. Can you say amen? Let's define what that grace is. Titus tells us this in chapter 2, verse 11 to 14. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. I am what I am because of His grace. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. It is the grace that appeared to all men, that has appeared to us and given us salvation and redemption from sin, that we would have the power and the grace to deny worldly lust, to deny sin, but to live righteously in this present age. Can you say amen? So my identity comes from Jesus. And the thing that we got to be careful is this message may not be something that we've never heard before. In fact, we've heard it many times. And the issue with that is the fact that we already know about it. And as a result, we can miss the heart of this message. But I pray that today we're going to hear what the Spirit is saying to us, to the churches. What is He saying to each and every one of us so that we can hear the voice behind the message. Amen. All right. A few weeks ago, we talked about the names of God. The names of God in the Old Testament is Yahweh. It is the eternal name of God. It speaks of His nature and His character. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's who was and who is and who is to come. He's the eternal one. He's forever faithful. And we looked at some of the names. And if you remember that, for example, we talked about He is the Lord, our provider. Well, because He is my provider, I shall not want. And because He's there, He's the Lord, our healer. Well, because He's the healer, He has healed me. As a result, I am healed. I'm already healed. I can live in divine healing. All right. He's the Lord, my redeemer. Well, because He has redeemed me, as a result, I am redeemed. So it is because of who He is and what He has done. His nature and character defines who I am. So one of the good things to practice is to actually declare the names of God. And out of that, we would know who we are because of who He is. You see, because He exists, I exist. You know, it's not that I loved Him first, but He first loved me. All right? I am because He is first and foremost the great I am. He's the I am that I am. I can breathe. I breathe air because He breathed into me the breath of life. So you and I know this very well. My identity comes from Him. Everything derives from the Lord. But I want to ask you a very serious question this morning. Even though we know all of this, you know, if you've gone to church, we've been born again for a while, we've heard messages, this is nothing, right? We know this at the back of our hands, all right? But here's the question. Who am I? Let me ask this again. I'm going to ask this question again. Who am I? What defines who I am, or who defines who I am? I know many of us will say, well, I know it's Jesus. I know it's my faith in God. And I know I read the Bible and all of this. These are great answers. These are the best answers. These are, in fact, that's the right answer. But we have to ask this question and really look at the reality of things in our lives. So I'm going to ask this. Do our circumstances or our situations, does that define who I am? You know, sometimes we go through things and, you know, doors are closing, challenges are coming in. And so the first thing that we'll say is, you know, I think God is closing certain doors. Well, is God closing doors, or am I allowing the circumstances to dictate my actions and my thoughts? right? So oftentimes what God wants us to do is get a word from Him, hear from Him, from the Word of God, from the Spirit. Get that word, hold on to that word, because no matter what comes our way, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and he wants us to cut it short and, you know, stop halfway. But God wants us to press in and trust in that word, because those things are not going to define what I do. The Word of God ultimately does. Amen? So I live by faith and not by sight. I want to take you to Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. And let's look at what happened here. I'm going to read here from verse 1. It says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down.'" See, the enemy will always come to test and challenge our identity. Are you really? If you are, prove to me. Do this and do that. And you see, Jesus didn't react to that. He didn't say, "Oh, you know, I am the Son of God. What do you mean? Here, give me a stone. I'll prove it to you." No, he didn't. He didn't react to that. Because the devil will come and try and do all these things and try to get us distracted, try to get us off what we're supposed to do and try to prove that we're something when our identity doesn't come with the things that we can do, right? We don't have to prove to anyone because our identity comes from God. So Jesus didn't react. But do I allow my circumstances, the situations that I'm going through to be, you know, to dictate my thought patterns, my decisions, and my behavior? For example, does COVID-19, does that dictate how I live and behave and all of that? And again, I'm not trying to talk about, you know, breaking and not following the social distancing, but we got to really ask some serious questions at this time, okay, about that. Does this whole thing that God is doing, has that sort of really cornered me to, you know, to behave in a certain way that I may not have, or may not necessarily be God's way? Maybe it's fear or whatever it may be. We're going to ask some serious question. What about this? Do hidden or past hurts or differences, arguments and fights that we have with people, does that define who I am? And again, everyone's going to say, "Of course not, of course not. I believe in Jesus. I'm born again. I love everybody. I forgive everybody." But again, reality. What is reality? See, if I'm offended with someone, and you know, if I'm let's say I'm offended with Harry. And Harry here offended me last week. I haven't seen him for a whole week. And he appears in front of me. All right. And I'm inside. I'm boiled inside. I'm really angry. And he comes up and I sort of, you know, walk away, trying to ignore him. I act a little bit funny and, you know, do all kinds of funny things. But you see, is my identity, is my thought, is my behavior, is that what Jesus would do? Is that what Jesus would want me to do? Or am I allowing an offense or differences that we haven't reconciled yet to come in the way and dictate the way I'm behaving and reacting? Right? We're going to really ask those questions, you see? All right? What about this? Do we draw, all right? Does my identity come from church gatherings, church meetings? Now, you got to understand this. I am someone who truly, really believes in the gathering of the saints. I believe in the church. I believe Jesus is building his church, and we are to come together, encouraging the brethren in the faith and come together, you know, and especially as we see the days approaching. But the question is this, all right? Am I someone who draws strength from meeting with people, from chit-chatting with people, from doing all kinds of things? You know, maybe it's the fellowship or the meal that we have together. Is that the drawing where I'm drawing my strength from? Or am I drawing my strength from the Lord Jesus Christ? Why am I meeting? When I'm going to church for church service, am I excited to go to the house of the Lord to worship God? Or am I more interested to meet brother so-and-so? Brother or sister so-and-so, or pastor, I want to talk to pastor. And these things are not wrong. I love this. We need this. We need to encourage one another. But is that my identity? Is that where I feel fulfilled and content and I feel satisfied and I feel like, wow, I feel energized? All right. Okay, we got to really ask some serious questions. okay, about this, all right? Because these, none of these things define who I am. What about ministry and service? Are the things that we do serve? Oh, I'm part of the worship team. I'm part of hospitality. I cook and, wow, people love my food and things like that. And by the way, I'm not criticizing anyone. I'm just using some examples, okay? I love your foods. Whoever you all cook every Sunday, I love the food, okay? We all know that, okay? But does that define who I am? Okay, is it because I'm doing this, I'm serving in this, and I'm involved in this, and I feel fulfilled because I feel like, wow, I'm needed. I feel used here. I feel like everybody is appreciating what I'm doing. And although all these things are good, but is that my identity? Social media, is that my identity? Do I draw from that? I want people to just keep, you know, checking out every single thing that I do. And again, you know, I'm not saying, you know, don't use social media. I'm just saying, is that though defining our identity? Does having what the world say is best, you know, have a job, have a family, have money, and have all of these things that everyone needs. And when we have that, is that where we feel fulfilled? Like, I've got a degree, I've got a good job, I've got this and I've got that, I've got a car, and now I feel like, is that our identity? And again, everyone's going to say, oh, no, that's not. But let's really look at how we approach life. Does this define who I am? You see, in this time, in this COVID-19, all right, God has taken us, he's taken all these things away from us. You know, a lot of those things that we've been feeding on, we've been living for years nonstop, and we've been in this cycle where we could potentially be living in a place where we're drawing from all of that. Rather than drawing from on high, we're drawing from all these activities. Those activities are defining who I am, my job, my this, my involvement in church and how I'm involved and what are the things I'm doing. Look, I'm doing all these things. Great, great, great. Oh, I'm fantastic. I'm a man of God. I'm serving the Lord. That's great. That's fantastic. None of these things define who we are. And I think in this time right now where God has taken all of these things away from us, okay, so that we could be alone with God. You see, what are we? Do we lose a sense of fulfillment suddenly when all these things have been taken away from us? All right? Let me see this. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2. Let's look at Jesus. Jesus said this, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Amen. You see, look at Jesus. All right, look at Jesus is the greatest example. And again, we know this verse front and back, in and out. All right, but Jesus was equal with God. But all of these things, his glory, was stripped away from him. Did that change who he was? Did that change his assignment? Did that change what he came to do on earth? That didn't change anything. He didn't say, well, you know, I'm somebody. You know, I can't do that. That's too low for me. All right? But he emptied himself. What happens now when God removes all of these things away from us? Are we still who we are? Can I still say, I am what I am by the grace of God? Now, I know that we know this, and like I said at the start of this message, the problem is that we know. It's because we know all these things. You know, the Bible says, you know, knowledge puffs up. And sometimes the problem is not that we don't know. The problem is that we do know. And because we know, I can use that for my own personal life. You know, as I, you know, learn a lot more, knowledge puffs up and pride creeps in. Now, I remember times, you know, when, you know, I was getting a lot of input, I was learning a lot of things and knowledge was increasing. And though I would never go to any person and say, oh, I know better than you, or I'm better than you, I never do that. Or I never act this way. I wouldn't say it in my heart. It's like, oh yeah, you know, I got the, you know, the word of God. You don't really know what the Bible is. No, we don't do that. We don't even think or say that per se, but it's the way we behave. I remember times, you know, early in my earlier times when I first became a Christian, I'd be talking to my brother, um, not not Jorg, but my other brother. And, you know, I talked to him, you know, as if I was better. But my intention was not to say that I'm better. For me, I was sincerely trying to, you know, say, oh, this is what the Word of God says, and this is right, and this is wrong. And so, without realizing it, I was acting in self-righteousness. And as a result, a lot of things, you know, a lot of unnecessary tension. I mean, we never really had major issues with each other in that sense of the word, but there was always this tension when we talked about Jesus, when we talked about the church. And that's the saddest thing, isn't it? That should be the thing that brings us closer, not the things that brings tension. But pride comes in the way. So it's not that we don't know. It's the fact that we know. We got to ask ourselves, have we allowed pride to come our way? All right? So we want to deal with something really serious here, and that's the heart. Look at Daniel chapter 4. This is King Nebuchadnezzar. He has a dream, and Daniel gives him the interpretation of the dream and say, you'll be chopped down. You'll be removed from your kingdom. Now, please, I urge you, repent. Perhaps God's mercy will extend to you and your kingdom will extend a lot. Just repent. And instead of repenting, what did he do? After 12 months, this is what he says in verse 28. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. And the king spoke, saying, is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? All right? Wow. I know this is full on pride, right? You say, well, that's not me, right? Well, hang on. Look at this. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Then it says, then you say in your heart, by power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish you his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. You see, all of these things comes from God. I have good family, I have good children. Oh, I raise them up and I'm a great father. No, it is God's mercy, it's God's goodness, it is God's gift. Oh, I raise my children, I made sure that they have food on their table and they have university. Well, that all comes from God. You see, we don't say that. We may not necessarily say, oh, I'm great. But the way we behave, we are proud of ourselves. It's not always what we say. It's sometimes the things that we don't say that's the problem. Let me show you these two aspects here. What we say and what we don't say. This here, there's a story here with a man called Absalom. This is one of David's son, you know, and his sister gets raped by his other half-brother. He's mad. He's furious, okay? And after he found out about the rape, he tells his sister, now look at this. I want you to look at these verses. All right, in 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 20, it says, and Absalom, her brother, said to her, sister who got raped, has Amnon, the brother who committed the sin, right, who committed the rape, has your brother been with you? But now hold your peace, my sister. He is your brother. Do not take this thing to heart. Now, does that sound like good counseling to you? Absolutely. Great counseling. Perfect. Is he telling the right thing? Does he know what should be done and what should not be done? Like I said, we know a lot. We know the message. We know our identity is Christ. We can give great counsel. In fact, if anything goes wrong in life, if anything has a problem, we are usually the first people to want to reach out to this person and give the person good counseling sessions. And all of that, and all of us, I should say, really know what to say, where to find the Bible verses. And the great counsel is always the best of the best counseling you'll ever find on planet Earth. That's how we behave. So sometimes it's not what we know. It's not even the things that we say that's wrong. Okay, sometimes we know it. But look at the issue here. So Tamar remained desolate in her brother's Absalom's house. Okay, but here it says this in the following verse, which I haven't got in front of me right here. But it says that, you know, Absalom spoke of his, you know, didn't say anything about his brother, neither good nor bad. So he was angry, he was mad. He gave great counseling session to his sister. But then he kept the offense in his heart. He didn't say anything good or bad. So the problem here is now what we did not say. It's not always what we say. It's what also we did not say. So those things that are happening, you know, the things that we're talking about here today, about, you know, knowing our identity, it's not what we say, what we know, and what we do, and all these things. We're dealing with something that's inside the heart. All right, our mouth is saying the right thing, but our heart, sometimes our heart comes out, and, you know, and we you know, say things that we shouldn't say and then we regret it. But sometimes we keep it so deep inside that we don't say anything. And that actually make things worse. So what is God saying to us? I believe God is saying, look, I've taken you out, okay, in this period of time, so that you would be in the wilderness with me, spend time alone with me. To do what? Because God's eyes are looking to and fro whose heart is loyal to him. God is looking at our hearts. These are the things that we say in our hearts. We don't necessarily say it outwardly and physically and things like that, but it's what's happening on the inside. These things on the inside, no one sees. You see, we talk about, you know, identities, or we know all knowing God. We talk about church. We talk about unity. But really, 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 really deep on the inside, is that unity truly, really there? I believe that God is challenging us, okay, to really deal with the deep, deep things of the heart, okay? Because when we do that, we'll realize that sometimes and many times, all right, we have not made the right decisions. I have not always made the right decision. Why? Because we choose to trust the mind. We choose to trust the natural things. We choose to trust our own ways. We didn't consider what God is saying and what his nature and character. Oftentimes we do things that's totally opposite to his nature and his character. But I believe that God is bringing us to alignment so that we would, you know, he would bring us back into a point of alignment to be in line with his nature, his word, and his character. See, in Ezekiel chapter 14, it says this, verse 12 and 14. The word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, When a land sins against me by persistent unfaithfulness, I will stretch out my hand against it. I will cut it off its supply of bread, send famine on it, and cut off man and beast from it. Even if these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they would deliver only themselves by their righteousness, says the Lord. Now, we know that our righteousness only comes from the Lord. But can you see that? This is telling me this, that at this time, God is bringing us into a place of being alone. You know, my faith is not going to be dependent on someone else, another brother, another sister, or my life group leader, or my pastors, even though we believe that these things are good. I'm not saying they are not good. But at the end of the day, when we stand before God, I'm going to stand before God alone. No one's going to stand behind me. It's me, Jesus, and I'm going to be facing God. Right? So the thing is, our walk, we must take it really seriously. Can you say amen? So I believe that's what God is doing right now. Okay? God is dealing with the deep, deep things of our heart. Can I really say, let me go back to I am who I am by the grace of God. Let's ask some serious, serious questions here. You see, those things that are in the heart, we don't know. Outwardly, we can say it. We can pray it, we can declare it, we sing songs about it. When the music fades and all is stripped away and I simply come, we know all of these things. But it is those things that are hidden that no one knows. Sometimes outwardly we look super good, but not knowing what's happening deep on the inside. All the stuff that's undealt with, all the hidden things that we choose to ignore. I'm saying that now is the time to turn away from pride. Recognize what God is saying. Recognize that God wants to deal with the deep things of our heart. I want to read Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. It says this, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Where did this thing take place? Not just in the head, not just in, you know, I'm going to try. It is something that he did from the heart. You see, we want to break out from some sin. Where is that going to be? The power is in from the heart. I want to know God after, not after the flesh. I want to know him after the spirit. See, the Bible says this to us, you know, are you so foolish? In Galatians chapter 3, verse 3, are you so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Are we trying to achieve the things of God by the things that we find in the flesh, fulfillment in all the things we've already listed? I want to challenge you this morning. It's the heart. It's the deep things that sometimes we've even pushed it away, all right? And we've, you know, and though we say our identity is in Christ, you know, but it has defined, it has made me become this particular person. I do things in a certain way. I'm set this way. I don't talk to this person. I talk to this person. I speak like this to this. And I have all these kind of things happening in my mind. All right? Let's get real. You know, and, you know, we've been saying, you know, we're looking forward for, you know, what God is about to do on the day of Pentecost, coming up on the 31st. We believe just as the early church, you know, the people, they gathered, the disciples, they gathered in the upper room and pressing in prayer. They were in one accord. And out of that, there was an explosion in the Spirit. And, you know, we've been encouraging everyone, look forward to coming back together because this is, we believe that something like this is going to happen. You know, we don't want to go back to the old ways. But how do we not go back to the old ways? Okay, it's easy to say that, right? We think we're going to see some kind of major change. I believe that the change is happening on an individual basis. Every person listening to this message, if we have an ear what God is speaking right now, we would hear that God is dealing with us on a personal level. Right? On a personal level. Because right now, we can't blame anybody for what so-and-so did to me and so on because we don't see each other, right? So this is really me and God. I got to deal with it. Stop blaming others for what has happened. Stop blaming people for the past, all right? But deal with it now. If we would do that, I believe if we do that in this time and don't miss it, if we would do that, I believe that we allow God to work in our hearts, not in our minds only, not just in not psychological, just as a mind, mental thing, in our hearts, I believe that when the moment we come together, we don't even have to try to you know, something different, something new, something next level. We don't have to make it like, oh, we're going to really try this. It's going to come so naturally, supernaturally natural. I believe it's going to be like this. But hear this today. When you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. This, I believe, is going to help us go to the next level. My identity comes from who he is. Therefore, my actions, my thoughts patterns is not going to be determined by external thoughts, by what this person said, by what this person did, but I'll choose to do things the way it's supposed to be done because I know who God is and because the things that I choose to do is according to his nature and according to his character. I determine to know nothing except Christ and him crucified. Let's stop looking at all these other things. Let's set our eyes on Jesus. Let God deal with us in this time right now. Let's go up to the next level. Let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for what you're doing in our hearts. I thank you that our hearts are going to be so transformed. I thank you that right now the Holy Spirit is convicting us of hidden things that has been hidden, and perhaps even for years, those things will be exposed, dealt with in Jesus' name, and take us into a deep place of repentance so that revival can break forth in our church and in the nations of the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.